This is going to be a total change from what you've heard. Not contradictory, but a total change. But it does begin with a commandment. And just something that I've been thinking about just in the last week or so. And it affects probably about a third of individuals here, but indirectly probably affects almost all of us. I've been thinking about children. And it's almost seems contradictory. A little more about children than my father was, but you get people like David that are just natural magnets. I have to work at it. But I've just been thinking about it. Luke has been praying. He prayed about it tonight. He prayed about it last week. And a few weeks is those with families, young families. I've just been thinking about it a little bit. There has not likely been a time that has been as challenging in raising a family as today. Luckily, the only time that it was ever rivaled would be when the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, and their sons faced execution at the command of Pharaoh. So we live in a day where it is maybe very difficult. There are a lot of influences. The family is being attacked. Children are very vulnerable, and likely by the hundreds or by the thousands, the unborn is put to death every day. That is the reality of what we live in today. So what does the scripture say about children? Well, for the grandparent, and I'm not going to talk about grandparents, but it does say the crown of the old man, children's children are the crown of old men. I like the children's children. I don't like the old man part. But also in Proverbs, it says that a good man or a good person leaveth an inheritance for his children's children. And so those of us who are past the years of raising children, we have a role. Now, sometimes we think, okay, it must be financial. And I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to do? And then it struck me, it's not financial. We can leave something to our grandchildren. Hopefully we have left it to our children. But we have an opportunity to impress our grandchildren with something of God character. Not that if their parents aren't saved, then that responsibility definitely falls on us. But we can reinforce what their parents are seeking to teach them about God. And we can leave them an inheritance. And I don't do it all the time, but quite often when Jade's over, we go to the piano and we start playing Sunday school songs. I wasn't going to get on that, so we're going to stop that. But that's just sort of by the way. Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to move very quickly. And again, I won't say a lot, but I've got a number of things. I'm going to just give the points. And I'll give you the points that I, just sort of how I broke them down. There's the command. God has given a command. God has given a mandate about children. There is a blessing associated with children. There is training associated with children. There is correction. There's responsibility. And there's love. So the first one we're going to look at is the commandment, the mandate, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27. Again, this is not a plea for more grandchildren. I was just looking at it, and this is what I trust the Spirit of God has brought to mind. Verse 27 of Genesis chapter 1, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and so on. And so you have the propagation of human life is something that has been mandated by God. We live in a society where children are often looked upon as a burden or something that would stand in the way of a career. But God says, be fruitful and multiply. And so God's intention for the family unit, for a husband and a wife, is for them together to move and to raise a family That's what we have in Genesis chapter 1. That was God's plan. Now, I'm not saying this harshly because there are those that can't have family. And maybe some say, I'm afraid to in this day and age. It's so evil. And that is a very definite concern. But it is a God-given mandate to be fruitful and multiply. And so why does God have that? There is a blessing in it. Psalm chapter 127. And most of these are actually in order. I was thinking about it. Everything has progressed. These were the things I was thinking of, and then I got thinking after. All these verses are pretty much in order. So the commandment, well, when God's commandments are carried out, there is blessing. Psalm 127, verse number 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with enemies in the gate. Often maybe wondered about this, the person that has a large family, and you think that is quite a responsibility. But now looking back, I look at our family. There's six of our siblings, and it's a time when we get together, it's a time of joy. And so while in the raising of children, there are difficulties, there are challenges, but the Word of God says that those that are blessed with children, not only is it an heritage from the Lord, but happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. So the Lord that gives children, and he says it is a blessing. And so we look at our two kids. They're not kids now, but we look at our children and we look over and we say, God has given us something that is more worthwhile than anything that he has given us, really. The training. Now, this could take up training and correction. This could take up two or three nights. I wouldn't be the one giving it. Maybe David can take this and build to it. But that is maybe one of the most challenging things. Everybody can hold a child when they're happy and cuddly. And last night, I have a picture. Wendy took it last night, and we had Jade, and I was dishing her out a dish of ice cream. And she rests her elbows on the cupboard, and she's watching me dish out the ice cream. And those are the good times. But there's other times when the children are a little cranky, and Lydia or Bennett, I was holding both of them one time, and I'd given them a scolding. I thought, okay, they took everything in. And they're both looking at me really serious, and Bennett reaches over and grabs Lydia and tickles her. So sometimes training and correction can be frustrating. But not only does God give children, but he has given guidelines that we are responsible. There is a way in which we are to raise them. We used to say to Lydia and Bennett, God gave Wendy and I the responsibility, at least, to try and raise two responsible adults. That's really what parenting is taking something that God has given us, and according to the Word of God, to raise them up to be responsible and respectful men and women. And it goes by pretty quick, for sure. So, Proverbs 22 is our first reading. And I hope that you'll, those of you who have family, that take this as an encouragement. That's what it is. It's something to help you say, how do I raise a family in 2024 in the fear of God? God has given us guidelines. God has given us scripture. It'll be difficult, but it's not impossible. So these are just some of the things that we're going to look at, just as an encouragement. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So train up a child. And so we are responsible for training. A few of us at work are now involved in a bit of a training project where new ones that come in especially, that we are trying to steer their course so they will use the standard aero way of machining parts. Sometimes when you get people that have experience from other shops, David would know where I'm going with this, sometimes we get bad habits. We prefer to get somebody who is right out of Holland College as an apprentice machinist, because we can train them the way we want. Well, God has given us children, and we have them right from brand new. And we are to establish a training course. We are to set guidelines. We are to steer them in the way that they should go. Now, I am not saying here for a minute that I have made every perfect move. No, I have not. But to encourage you that one of your responsibilities is just to steer. Maybe sometimes we're just going to, you make sure. I don't think that's what the Lord has in mind. There's a gentleness. And maybe we learn this as we get older. And maybe it finally starts coming out when the grandchildren are there. And when we're younger and have children, it's often so impatient. It's with impatience. It shouldn't be. But it often is. But he says, train up a child. Start with them when they're young. And the promise from Scripture is, doesn't mean there won't be, it's the general trend. If you don't do something with them when they're young, for sure, the end will be disastrous. But the rule that God is saying is, if we biblically, scripturally, in the fear of God, seek to train them, it'll leave them with something that they will never forget. And so that is the training. Connected with that is the correction, very much part of it. Verse 15 of this same chapter, Proverbs 22, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Children are very old, and we realize that the sin that is inherent to every one of us, it starts to come out, and God says it needs to be dealt with. The rod of correction it could be corporal punishment, it may not be. The idea is there needs to be correction and discipline. I was listening to the radio yesterday, and as a result of injustice done, different ones had lost some of their family, and when they finally got their family back, they were scared to discipline them because they were scared the authorities were going to come and take them. And what was the result? It was really wild and lawless children. And so God is saying there needs to be correction. We can look at that in the New Testament. As a father, I don't have it wrote down here, I don't think. I think it's in Hebrews, but it's like that God corrects a believer just as a father will correct a child, and it's because of love and care. The rod of correction shall drive it far from them. Proverbs 3 and 12 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. And that's, I think, one of the verses I was looking at, and it's mentioned in Hebrews as well. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 11. What happens when correction, when training is not applied? Well, Ecclesiastes 8 and 11 says, because sentence against an evil work, or because there are no repercussions, because there is no, to use it bluntly, because there is no punishment for wrongdoing, here's what it says, because it's not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And so you can take and you can look at in almost every instance where there has been no correction. The way of that child as he or she grows up, it's a wildness and it's in behavior that often ends up in incarceration. And even in our justice system, this is one of the faults. I'm not being political or anything but that, but one of the things that are characteristic of this day is a delay in the execution of justice, in the carrying out of justice. And what we have here not only applies to our justice system, but it really starts right in our home. If we don't nip it in the bud, it's going to keep going. And so, correction, it needs to be carried out. God has made it clear that it needs to be, and he tells us what will happen if we don't. Then we have the responsibility. We're going to go to the New Testament now, and time is going quickly. Ephesians chapter 6. And so we have a responsibility. Ephesians 6, verse number 4. And it says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So what does this mean? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I don't believe it has anything to do with correction, that if we correct our children, we shouldn't correct them because it's going to make them cross. That's not the idea. And it's not even the idea of maybe if some of us like to have a bit of fun, and sometimes we can do it to the point that our children get upset, and maybe we have gone too far. But the idea, I think, here is that as fathers, we are to be a support and an encouragement to our children. If I, as a father, am always putting down my children, if I am not approving them where they need to be approved, then I have failed. Doesn't mean that I approve them in everything, but one of the things that a child looks for is approval from their parents, and likely most of all from the father, because of his role. And if I act in such a way to my children that I am always condemning them and say, you could have did better, or you didn't do good enough, I can provoke them to anger, to be discouraged. And so as a father, I need to be a role model, an encouragement. That when something is wrong, I can say it, but when something is done right, that I can just say, great job. Thank you for doing the dishes. Thank you for being nice to your mother. There are things that I can do as a father that I will either, use this word carefully, give them good self-esteem, or I can treat them in such a way that they think that they will never meet their expectations, and it will mark children for life. And so, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture. So, again, it's coming back to the training. Raise them up in the nurture. Sometimes nurture is to cherish, and it isn't to encourage love, but it's the idea of training, and admonition is the gentle rebuke where it is needed, the urging. And then in 1 Timothy 5 and 14, I think I got two more here that we're going to look at. 1 Timothy 5 and 14, taking this slightly out of context. The responsibility, we've looked at the father. Well, here is the role of a mother. Now here it is in the context, it's the young widow. But again, the principles of Scripture apply. 1 Timothy 5, verse 15, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And so as a father has a role as the head and to be look to the well-being of his family, so the mother, there's a role for her where likely the burden of raising a family falls on the mother, and she is the one who guides. It is really the mother whose love is showered upon the child. One of the things I was interested in this as I was looking, very rarely, correct me if you know where it is, but it never says for a parent, a mother or a father, or if it is, it's very, very limited, to love their children. And I go, why? Well, Romans chapter 1, it speaks that in the last days, they'll be without natural affection. 2 Timothy 3 also uses the same words, without natural affection. There is something inherent put there by the heart of God that a father and a mother love their children. It's a sacrificial love, really. And the home ought to be guided and directed in love. There was one. I did find one last night. Titus chapter 2, and this is where we're going to end. Titus chapter 2, verse number 4. Again, this is to the women, but it could be something the husbands can take too. So it says, of the women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And so here you have one, I think, one of the only places where a mother is told to love her children. And so, in 2024, God has given us scriptural principles and guidelines when it comes to carrying out the responsibility that God has given us. Children, they're an heritage from the Lord. Whether we have one or two, bless those that have 10 or 12. I don't know how they do it. But it is given to us from God, and we are responsible. And as difficult and challenging as it is today, God has given us scriptural principles that we can just, relying on Scripture before God, it really does. It takes help and wisdom from God. But you can raise your children so that they be used in His service. That's really what our desire is as parents, is that that boy, that girl would be raised up not to get some big job, but in some way, whatever God has for them, that they would just willingly serve God, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and to serve Him. That is our role as parents. And to you who are raising families today, keep at it. Keep praying. Get your guidance from Scripture, because there is help. There is a resource. And I just trust that this is an encouragement to you.